So I'm going to speak to you this morning on the subject of what is salvation by faith. And I can't remember how many years it's been since I've spoken on what is salvation by faith. And I felt like that's what the Lord wanted me to speak on this morning. Because oftentimes if we don't remind ourselves, we may forget what that really means. Amen? And God help us not to ever forget what it means to be saved by faith. And we're going to be reading, if you want to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be reading in Romans chapter 10. Of course, it's going to be up on the screen, as will some other. I don't know if the other scriptures will make it or not. I have so many here, I couldn't give them all of them to put up there. So we'll just see what happens. Amen. Romans chapter 10, and I'm going to be reading from the Amplified Version. I don't know if Sean has the Amplified or the regular version of the Bible, but I'm going to be reading from Romans chapter 10 in the Amplified Version. Brethren, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness, and the King James Version says record, that they have a zeal for God. Everybody say a zeal for God. Well, I want you to notice the next verse, their zeal for God is not according to knowledge. The reason it's not according to knowledge is for they are ignorant, or not understanding, or not knowledgeable. They're being ignorant. For they being ignorant, the Amplified Bible says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness. Everybody say God's righteousness. And seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. Verse 4. For Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness. Everybody say end of the law. To everyone who believes. So Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses, verse 5, writes about the righteousness which is of the law, which the righteousness of the law, according to Moses, is what we understand very basically are the Ten Commandments. That is, trying to keep those produces a righteousness that is of the law, which I want to say this right now before we continue to read, is that the righteousness of the law was really not a righteousness at all because they couldn't keep it. You with me? The reason, and it's for that reason that along with the commandments came the orders, the diverse ordinances of offering of lambs and rams and bullocks, and the shedding of blood. Are you with me? Because when they broke the law, and they did, and therefore they didn't have the righteousness of the law and couldn't have, the only thing they could do was to bring a lamb or a bullock or something and offer it in sacrifice. And then when God saw that blood, he was reminded of the blood of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, which would one day come and die for the sins of all the whole world. Amen? So that's the reason he's telling us in verse 5, for Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. And he states here basically that the righteousness is of the law is the man who does those things shall live by them. In other words, that's what he says up here at the very beginning. They're being ignorant of God's righteousness They have a zeal for God, but being ignorant of God's righteousness, they're going about trying to establish their own righteousness, and they were trying to establish their own righteousness in this particular case, because he's speaking to the Jews, as they were trying to establish their own righteousness by the keeping of the commandments or the law. He continues, verse 6, but the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, basically, if you, who are trying to be saved by the righteousness of the law, or however you're trying to be saved, a lot of people don't try to keep the righteousness of the law. They just try to do the best they can to be good and hope that that righteousness will make them, their good works will make them acceptable with God the Father. Amen? So that is, you can't, if anybody's trying to be saved by works, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven. That is, if you're going to be saved by your righteousness, that is, you'd have to ascend into heaven and bring Christ down from above. Which we know that's impossible. Amen? Verse 7, the next thing he says, or who will ascend into the abyss? Who will go down into the abyss, or the pit? And that is to bring Christ up from the dead. So if we're going to be saved by our own righteousness and the righteousness of the law and so forth, or anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is our own righteousness, we would have to bring Christ down from above, and we'd have to raise him up from the dead. That's how impossible it is for us, anyone, to be saved by their own righteousness and by the righteousness of the law. But what does it say then? What does this gospel of salvation, this gospel by faith, this how a man or a person or anyone receives the righteousness of God? What does it say? Verse 8, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Everybody say faith. So it's not a work of the law. The righteousness that we have that saves us, which is God's righteousness and not ours, it comes by faith. Everybody with me? Verse 9. What is this righteousness by faith? How do we receive this? How do we understand that we have this? Verse 9. This verse 8 ends with the word of faith which we preach, and here he gives it to us in verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth, everybody say, confess with your mouth. He's telling us right here that has to be confessed. If you're going to be saved, you're going to have to confess. What are you going to have to confess? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? That Jesus Christ is Lord. But not only do we have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, but we also have to believe in our heart. That is, with all of our soul, with all of our being, what do we have to believe? We have to believe that God raised him from the dead. So if we believe with our heart that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he was buried in our behalf and took our place, and he was resurrected on the third day, amen? If we believe that with our heart, and then we can call upon the Lord to save us, we'll be saved. Isn't that what he said? Verse 10, why is that so? For with a heart, that means heart here doesn't mean this physical organ that's pumping in our bodies and pumps our blood. It means, in the Bible, it means our soul, the center of our being. Everybody with me? So if with all of our heart, with all of our being, with all of our soul, we believe, or one believes, he believes unto righteousness. He believes unto righteousness. The word believe here means to have faith. He has trust. We depend upon. That's what that word believe means. It doesn't mean I believe that there is a God. We have to, of course, believe there is a God before we'll come to him, right? But it doesn't just mean believing God that he exists. It means to believe here means to actually put our trust in and our faith in God and in his precious Son that died on the cross for our sins. When we do that, if we believe in our heart and then confess with our mouth, then we're saved. Amen? Is that what it says? For with a heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Verse 11, for the Scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. Whoever puts their trust in him and depends upon him and relies upon him and what God did through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what Jesus Christ did for us through his death, burial, and resurrection will not be put to shame. God will never disappoint us. Are you with me? This is very simple, isn't it? A lot of people make it complicated and complex, and the religions of this world try to make it complex and complicated. But it's just really as simple as this. That if you believe in your heart, you've heard the story in the preaching of the cross. And that Jesus died on the sins for the died on the cross and offered his body and his blood and his broken body for the sins of the whole world. Everybody say whole world. Does that include you? Amen? But that means, it doesn't mean that the whole world has that. Only those who believe that and put their trust in the Lord with all of their heart and believe that Jesus has taken their sins in his body on the cross and then confess that with their mouth, they are the ones that are saved. We call that receiving Christ. The Bible says in St. John, to as many, I think it's chapter 4, verse 13, or chapter 1, as to as many as received him, to them, to those who have received him, to them he has given the privilege or the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe in his name. Amen? When the woman of the well, who was talking to Jesus, whom she didn't know, later on she ran into town and come and said, I want you to come see a man. She didn't say, I want you to come see a doctor, and I want you to come to see a preacher. I want you to come see a philosophy, or I want you to see a man that's full of ideology. She says, I want you to come and meet this man. That man is Jesus. And the Bible says, to as many of those who received him, we're not receiving a doctrine or theology or religion, we're receiving an individual. We're inviting the Lord Jesus Christ to come into our beings. And when we do that, the Bible says in verse 17 of Romans chapter 10, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if I come wherever I am, it doesn't say we have to be in a church. It doesn't have to say any that we have to be any place in particular. All it says, if we believe in our heart that Jesus died for us and bore our sins in his body on the cross, and we believe that with all of our heart, so much so that we'll come to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son and say, the Lord, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus died for me and took my place. And I confess him as my Lord and Savior. Amen. At that moment, the Bible says, as Jesus told Nicodemus, at that very moment. Now, what moment? That moment that we called upon the name of the Lord. We may have not have known exactly everything. I know I didn't. When I was 18 years old, I joined the church. I'd been brought up in church. Dad was a deacon. Mom was a Sunday school teacher. I'd been brought up in the church since they carried me there when I was a baby. 12 years old, I joined the church and got baptized, but I didn't have the foggiest idea what that meant. It doesn't mean that there has to be a whole lot of doctrinal understanding. We do have to understand. We do have to grow in the love and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We do have to understand some things, but that's only after we become Christians. And then we don't have to understand it by ourselves because we have preachers and teachers, but above all, we have the Holy Spirit of God in us, Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. And we have His Holy Spirit, and He told the disciples, don't worry about that. There's coming. No, well, He didn't say exact that, but that's what he was meaning. There's coming a time, I'll send you another Comforter. Amen. While I'm with you, I've kept you. Now, sorrow's filled your heart because I'm going away, but what you don't understand is I'm going away so the Holy Spirit can come and He be with you all the time. And you don't just have to be with Him in the flesh. See, there was probably only 12 people that could really get close to Jesus while He was here in physical form. Amen? But now through the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, every person all over the world, wherever they may be, can have the presence of Jesus in their lives. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, once we do this, we believe in our heart that Jesus died for us, and we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus. We're going to talk about that in a minute. We're saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then when we are saved, the Bible says, as Jesus told Nicodemus, you're born again. So that belief in God, that trust in God that we exercise when we come to Him and call upon Him to be saved, and we tell Him that we confess the Lord Jesus Christ because we realize that Jesus said, I am the way, not a way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me, but through me. Amen? So that's when we come and then we believe with our heart that Jesus died for us. We call upon Him to save us and confess Him with our mouth. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be not just my Savior, but I want you to be my Lord. You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, not the Savior Jesus. He is a Savior, but we have to confess Him as Lord. Now, when I came, and what I was going to tell you, when I came after being in the church for a number of years and having a lot of religion, so forth, when I came at 18 years old and I heard a message, a preacher preaching a message, I sensed in my spirit that I needed to do something. Now, I didn't say, and I don't think he preached these exact words that I'm preaching to you. I didn't have to say those exact words because the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So when I came to the Lord and knelt down at the altar, I just said, Lord, help me. I need your help. If you don't help me, if you don't save me, I won't ever be saved. whatever that means. I didn't even have the foggiest idea what it means to be saved. I didn't understand all of the theology and all the doctrines related to salvation. All I needed to do is I realized that if he didn't save me, then when I died, I was going to spend eternity separated from him. And they call that hell, and I sure didn't want to go there. Are you with me? So not only does believing in our heart that Jesus died for our sins so that we could be saved, and confessing with our mouth, the Lord Jesus, so that we could be saved. When he comes into our heart, we are saved. What are we saved from? We're saved from hell. But that's just not just all. We're saved from ourselves. We're saved from religion. You and me. We're saved from a bunch of do's and don'ts now because he begins to work in us. Like the Bible says in Philippians, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. We have to cooperate with him because the next verse says, for it's God that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen? So when he comes into our hearts and we're saved, we're born again, but then we have to cooperate with him because salvation that God provides for us not only just affects our spirits, you with me? But it salvation that he provides affects our soul and our bodies. So there's three aspects to salvation. You say, well, you know, the body doesn't die. No, the body's going to go back to the dust, but thank God it's going to be resurrected. We're going to have a new body. Amen? And the Bible says to be absent from the body, are you with me? Those of us that have confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and have put our heart and our determination into what God says and believe on what he says, amen, then our spirits are born again, amen, by the Spirit of God. And then the Bible says from that point on to be absent from the body, what does that mean? Well, if your spirit leaves your body, you're dead. Amen? Because it's the Spirit of God that quickens the body and our bodies and makes it alive. So, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So, as I've told people before at various funerals over 60 years of the ministry, preaching funerals, I don't know, by the hundreds, maybe thousands, I don't know. What you see there in the casket, if they're Christians, if they were Christians, is that's just the house, that's just the tent. The Bible calls it the tent. Don't look at your wife or your husband and say, you tent. They might not appreciate that. But these bodies are our tents. What is a tent? You ever thought? Have anybody ever thought about all of this? What is a tent? It's a portable place to get out of the elements of the weather that you carry around with you. Are you with me? It's not a permanent place. I don't see a whole lot of people nowadays that left their camping that stay in tents. They don't live there. We live in houses. Even that's temporary. Are you with me? So the Lord wants us to understand that our bodies, well, it's so I can see glory and glory can see me. Amen. So we can see one another. If we were all just spirits floating around, we wouldn't have much to see, would we? So this is so we can communicate. We can help one another. We can see one another. And so the salvation of God, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. You want to put that down, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Are you with me? Sanctify, don't let that scare you. That just means to be set apart for God. Just means dedicated to God. Sanctification means, so you may not realize this, but when you come to the Lord, to the Father, you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, and you call upon the name of the Lord to save you, He saves you, and your spirit, you've been born again. At that moment, you were sanctified. You were a whole lot of things happened to you. And if you get into the Word of God and begin to study it, you were justified, you were sanctified, you were saved, you were redeemed, you were bought with a price. Isn't that wonderful? So he says now, and 1 Thessalonians 5, 23? The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Wow. That's what you have. If you've been saved, if you've just done that, if you just come to the Lord and said, Lord, save me. And I know you can save me because your Son carried my sins in His body on the cross. He died for me. And so I'm coming to you. I'm saying, Lord, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. I put my trust in what He did on the cross of Calvary. Man, when that happens, at that moment, you're born again. Were you born again? In your spirit. In our spirit. And then we begin to work out that salvation, that change, that new creation that we are in Christ Jesus. We begin to work out through our souls, through our wills. God begins to work in us. We don't do everything. I'm still growing in the grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? And here pretty quick, I'll be 84. Isn't that amazing? I'm shocked. My dad didn't think I'd live past 20, I don't think. Are you with me? God saw to it because He saw fit in the circumstances and the situations of my life, and which He does to all of us in one way or another. He will bring everybody, I believe, He brings everybody in this world to the place of where they have the opportunity to receive the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be their Savior. And that's why He, to those of us that He's saved in spirit, soul, and body, we begin to, our will changes. The day that I came to be saved and come to know the Lord, I didn't have a desire for the Bible. I didn't have a desire to read the Word. I didn't have a desire to call God my Heavenly Father. As far as I was concerned, before that time, I didn't even know He existed. Oh, I heard about Him. But boy, I didn't want to have anything to do with Him. But at that moment, when I was changed by the power of God because I did what we just read about here in Romans chapter 10, the first thing that happened to me was I had a desire to get into the Word of God. I had the desire to, I wanted to go to church. I wanted to know God. Are you with me? And those are the things that He does that lets us know that, hey, you now belong to me. You belong to me. And he just picks us up in his arms and loves us. And we know that he loves us. We don't know why he loves us. Amen. But we know we now have an experience with God. Are you with me? Our spirits have now been quickened. And now we have, and hopefully we'll follow that desire to read the Word and to be a part of. I didn't want to associate with Christian people. I didn't want to have anything to do with them. They were a bunch of nuts as far as I was concerned. Are you listening? Well, all of a sudden something happened. I wanted to be with them. Don't ask me why. I didn't know. I didn't even think about it. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to read the Bible. Something was working inside of me. Praise God. And he began to change my soul and my will and got me into the word of the milk of the word so that I could grow thereby. And I still grow. And I'm still growing. Years ago, 15 years ago, maybe 20, I woke up one morning about 5 o'clock. And I was going to study because I was wondering what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 was talking about. I want to know, how do I tell the difference? And I felt like I needed to know this so I could explain it to people. How do I know the difference between my spirit and my soul and my body? Have I told y'all this before? And I studied from 5, 6, 7, 8, 8:30 or 9 o'clock. I was on my computer. I'd looked up every scripture I could think of. I studied everything I could study in the Bible that had to do with spirit, soul, and body, everything I could think of. And the more I studied, the more I got frustrated. I finally just got up from my chair and my office, pushed my chair, started to the kitchen. I was going to get me a cup of coffee, and just as I walked into my dining room door, double wide door, it was almost an audible voice. I heard, "Lewis." And I stopped dead still because I knew who that was. And I stopped dead still. And then he spoke to me and he said exactly these words I never will forget. "You're trying to understand things that are too wonderful for you." And the first thing I said was, "Yeah, hey, that's scripture." And he said, "Yes, it is. Job 42 or 43. He even told me where it was. Can you believe that? Then he showed me, later on, not too far after that, I did finally get to the place where I could teach on spirit, soul, and body because he knew I needed to teach that. But there had to be, you know, the Bible says over in Isaiah, it's line upon line, precept upon precept. You don't take, you're little, they're little, amen. You don't take a child that's just gone to school and doesn't know 1 + 1 = 2 and go get over into trigonometry and... Are you with me? You just don't do that in algebra and higher mathematics. The same thing is spiritual. We have to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so it's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So we have to build on that foundation so we can understand. And understanding something doesn't just mean, listen, understanding something doesn't just mean I have the knowledge of it in my head. From the time I was about in the sixth or seventh grade, I was studying about flying. I knew a lot about lift. I knew a lot about ailerons and rudders, and I knew that a plane had a tail, and I knew it had wings, and I knew it had a motor. I knew all about flying. I wanted to fly. And I thought, just give me a plane. I'll get in it and fly it. I know so much about it. But you see, knowledge isn't wisdom. Wisdom is the understanding and the application of the knowledge in our lives. That's when we become wise. So when I went out years later, I told Pat now that I want to fly, and now that I have the time, I was working for Barry Contracting. I was right there next to the airport off Interstate 37. I thought, well, you know, I'll go over there, Highway 44, it was not far from there. I go to the airport, and I'll learn how to fly. So the first time I went over there, the guy said, you want to learn how to fly? I said, yeah. He said, well, come on, I'll take you up in the plane. And when he first did like that, I thought I was going to fall out. It scared me to death. Do you want the controls? I said, no. Are you with me? And I went on and took hours. My GI Bill paid for all of it. And I went on and took hours. I finally become a commercial pilot. I become with an instrument rating, multi-engine rating. And I had to learn all of that. I had to take that knowledge and apply it. And that's the same thing that I had to do with the Word of God in my life. I had to take the knowledge and the understanding that He was giving me, and I had to apply it to my life. That's what you have to do. That's why He wants to get us in the Word. That's why He wants to get us into witnessing and living our lives for Christ. That's why He wants to get us into the church and get us in fellowship with Christians so that we can grow and help one another, encourage one another. Because I'm going to tell you, we all need to help, all the help we can get. Amen? Praise God. God's good. So it's line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. So to finish my story, and with that, I'm going to close. That day after He showed me, you're trying to understand things too wonderful for you, He showed me something else in my relationship with Him. And I don't remember how long after this that it was after this that He began to show me this. He showed me a glass of water. Can you drink that? I said, yeah. He showed me a basin of water, a pan. Can you drink that? I said, well, yeah. He showed me a bathtub full of water. Can you drink that? I said, well, yeah. I guess it might take me a while. Then He took me to a pond. Can you drink that? But I'm not sure if I could drink that in my whole life. Then He took me to the oceans. Can you drink that? And I said, no way. He said, I am the God, and that's who I am, and that's who you're trying to understand. You're no way you will ever know everything that I know. I got the point. Did that stop me from growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? No, He showed me. You just take it line upon line, precept upon precept. You take it here when I give it to you. You store that, and I'll give you a little more, and I'll give you a little more. It's not that you go to swallow it up and How many of you ever know if you jump out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and out of a plane and try to swallow it all up, you're going to drown? That's what's going to happen to you. If you try to understand everything there is to know about God and His Word and the Bible, and that doesn't mean that we don't study it and we don't learn it and we need it and all of that, because that's our life. And so we get to hear a little and there a little. And one of the reasons that He wants to share some with all of us is so, you know, not too long after giving my life to the Lord, I felt His call in my life, and I went and talked to my preacher. I said, "Look, I don't know what's going on. I feel like that God wants me to do something." He said, "Well, what do you think?" And I said, "Well, I think He's asking me, He's calling me into the ministry of some sort." And he said, "Well, He may be." And I said, "Well, back in those days, in that particular denomination that I was in, you surrendered to be a missionary to China or Africa or Afghanistan, or you surrendered to be a pastor, a teacher, or an evangelist, or whatever you surrendered to be." And I said, "I don't know what He wants me to surrender to be." And I had a wise preacher, thank God. He said, "Lewis, you just come and say, 'Lord, I feel Your call in my life, and I surrender. I just want You to do whatever it is You want me to do.'" And that's what I did. And so this is what I'm doing today. This is why I'm here. And He showed me a lot of things, not just to benefit me, but I learned how to fly spiritually and apply the knowledge He gave me so I can share that with everybody that He loves and cares for, because He wants every one of us to have that knowledge and that understanding. He may even call some of you into the ministry. If He does, that's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to you. But remember, it's not your ministry. It's His. And you don't work it. You cooperate with Him, and it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. I don't sit down here during the week, sit down at my home and try to figure out what I'm going to preach. He tells me what I'm going to. He said, "This is what I want to share this morning." And sometimes, just to try my faith, and boy, I used to, it just really bothered me. Now, after so many years, it doesn't bother me anymore. He wouldn't tell me what He wanted me to share until I got here. Then He said, "Turn to Psalms 21 or Psalms 1 or whatever." And I said, "What am I going to say?" He said, "Don't worry about it." "I'll speak through you." Amen? And so I've learned to trust Him in that way too. We have to learn to trust Him in every area. Now, that don't mean to go out and be stupid either. Are you listening to me? "Well, God, You're just going to take care of it. I don't need to study. I don't need to do anything." Well, if you don't do that, you won't know anything. He can't show you anything because He uses this book and His Spirit and His Word to show us and teach us. Praise God. Amen. So let's everybody stand. We're going to be dismissed. If for any reason, I always want to give an invitation, because I never know when God's dealing with somebody and they need to come to the altar and pray. And so I want to give them that opportunity while we're here. The Spirit of God's here in a special way, because we're two or more agree on earth and meet together. Jesus said He'd be there. So the Spirit of God is here, and if anybody wants to come to the altar and pray about anything for any reason, you can come on down, slip out right now, come on down, let's pray. I'll agree together with you. If you want me to pray for you or somebody else, we'll have somebody here pray for you. Or if you just want to pray or whatever you want to do, if God's speaking to you, maybe you need to make a commitment of your life. Maybe you need to confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord and invite Jesus to come into your heart and your life so that you can know him. Whatever it is, I'm going to give you here just a minute and then we're going to close. Anybody, you come right now, please. Not to me, not to this church, but to the Lord. You're coming to the Lord. He sees you, he knows you, he loves you, he cares for you. He's the best friend you'll ever have. Amen.